Stay in the game at sports.kbec.com. Complete coverage of Ellis County sports from Classic Texas. KBEC.
Sports.kbec.com presents The Press Box. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpet in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpet. The Press Box is your source for Ellis County High School sports. Give us a call at 972-923-1390, option 1. And now, here's tonight's show.
Good Monday evening. It's time. Let's talk some football. Let's talk some sports. Let's talk anything we can about Ellis County High School athleticism.
Is it football season already?
It is. Welcome to it. One game in.
Dave, did you know that? Time for football.
It is time for football. It's time to put on those colors and get out there and watch football being played.
It's still 90-something degrees. What did you say? It was 98
94.
Degrees.
When it's in Texas, if it's less than 100 degrees, it's got to be football.
If it's less than 100, it's called spring.
That's right.
So on the way to the game on Friday, I could not decide if I wanted to look professional and wear slacks or wear shorts. And I flipped a coin and the slacks won, unfortunately, because it
goodness.
Was hot. Goodness gracious.
You know, go ahead. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, I was just going to say, I had to do my little halftime deal in front of however many, a couple of thousand people, whatever it was, a few thousand. And what I wore fell right into the category of do not care, man. I'm staying cool out here. It was hot.
I remember what I was going to say. When I was in the Navy on the ship that I was on, I was the only Texan. And so 200,
must have been a small ship.
200 guys.
Okay.
And I was the only Texan. Well, I was the only one that would admit I was from Texas.
Yeah,
there was another guy. But
you were brave enough to take the grief.
Heck yeah. You know what? But they always kidded me about, they had four seasons and we don't. And I said, hey, we got four seasons.
That's
we
right.
got almost summer, summer, still summer, and Christmas Day.
Oh, I thought it was high school, college, and football season, and then
baseball.
High school, college, and pro football, and then Christmas. Yeah.
That's right.
That's the four seasons.
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
Hey, and speaking of that kick, so Chad on the sideline during every single Wauxetti home game, and it's pretty hilarious.
We're 5 years in of doing that.
Yeah,
I think this
and
is our
we
fifth year.
Also should go ahead and probably just start thinking about doing actual tryouts during that time.
For the kick or for my position? You're trying to fire me?
What's no, I'm trying to find a kicker for the high school team.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So our little kicker had some tough times the other night. He's a good little kicker, too, for what it's worth.
Well, anyway. So Chad is out there, and first of all, he failed to mention our show.
No. I had it in my plan. Let's be clear on this. I had it in my plan because, believe me, I'm all about self-promotion.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they turned my mic off from up in the booth, and I'm talking, and it's not coming out over the deal. And I'm like, oh, that's a pretty tough way to handle a volunteer over here.
Dave,
throw a guy a bone.
I don't believe that story for one second.
Well, you come on down there, and I'll show you. Believe me, I'm ahead of the game now. I'll catch it early next time.
He got stage fright is what happened.
Yeah, I just didn't want to take away from Bahama Bucks. So let's go ahead and plug them right quick. Not a shameless plug, a proud plug, man. But thank Dr. Mark and Mary, Dr. Mark Rue, Mary Rue, the owners and proprietors of Bahama Bucks. They've been sponsoring this thing for a couple of years now. And a chicken place did it before that.
Yeah, because we used to kick. It was
kicking for chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now it's booting for bucks.
All right.
But we
now
get a kid
the
out
kicker.
There. What's that?
It's Ice the Kicker.
You're right. I mentioned that the other night. All right, and to give credit where credit's due, that line came from Mr. James Parker, the teacher, the CTE department of whatever media. I'm not sure what his class is called, but they're the kids, the group that runs the scoreboard and the Jumbotron and all that. Yeah.
Good deal.
So he hits me with that right before the game. He goes, man, y'all should call this Ice the Kicker. And I'm like, one, I like the line. Two, I'm upset with myself that I didn't think about it. And three, why are you hitting me with this, Mr. Parker, 10 minutes before the game? Why didn't you call me on Monday to give me a chance to put a little brain power behind this thing?
And shout out to Indian golfer. Judd Willett didn't even use a pitching wedge. No. He did kick it through.
He kicked it through.
Didn't even need the pitching wedge.
And let's lift him up on this, too. That kid is in a class of like 680 and ranks numero uno, Dave.
Oh, my.
Number one in his class. Smart kid. The type of kid that just excels at everything he attempts and tries and
he
all
is
of that.
One of the few kids to where his class ranking and his handicap are about even.
Right.
Good night.
Yeah, he can play some golf. In fact, he's won a golf tournament or two, I think.
My class ranking was 36, so
mine too.
I guess my handicap – I mean, actually, you know what? That's probably about right.
There you go. There's something there. Right.
Mine was 98 out of 208.
Look, we are on to something here.
Now, hold on a second. My grade point average was 89.9. So that means there were about 95 or 96 kids above me that had an A average. And I was like 98 out of 208.
Yeah.
And we had a smart class, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you did.
That was crazy.
I was just,
you needed Dave. You needed to go to a dumber school. That was what your problem.
Isn't that
was,
a fact?
He went to Burleson. How much worse can it get?
Hey!
I wasn't going to take a shot. I wasn't going to name names.
I could have gone to Cleburne.
right.
We're going off.
Yeah, you'd have been valedictorian.
We're going way off.
I might have.
Somebody's going to get mad at us.
They
back
are,
to football, Chad. Get us back on track.
Right, but hey. So to speak, a little with regard to the mighty Indians, they won a ball game. How about it? I'm excited for them. Good deal. They're 1-0, undefeated. How about that?
That was their first. I had it in my game notes. I believe it was their first. It's the first time we've started the season 1-0 since 2016. I'll look to confirm that.
I don't want to miss you. No, you're not right.
Now
it's pretty
Todd,
close to that.
When Todd Alexander, he won his first game against Ennis.
They had to go to extra innings, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. First game, it sure did.
Didn't they have to go to extra innings for that game?
They did the other night. We went to extra innings, sudden death.
Extra innings.
And a playoff. I don't know what we did. But, yeah, we went to extra. And Todd Alexander, I don't mean to correct you on the air, make you feel bad or anything, Travis, but – yeah, in the last coaching regime we had, they started off 1-0 against Ennis. And then
Downhill. That's not what my stat is.
Okay.
My stat is that they're looking for their first 2-0 start since 2016.
There we go.
I knew I did some research on it.
Come on, let's go do it. And to speak to that, if you know anything, fill us in, because I don't have a clue on Arlington Lamar. They did lose this past week, but they played Trinity, and Trinity's usually pretty tough.
Yeah,
you know?
And they've lost to them the last 2 years.
Yep.
And last year was actually very, very close. I believe it was a one-score game. This year was a two-score game, I think it was, 45-27. So still, again, it's not terrible for being against Trinity.
Is that
right.
The Arlington Lamar Vikings?
That is
correct.
So they
look at me knowing a mascot.
They are
the all-coveted inland Viking.
So they are the second-best team from their own town because Martin is definitely the premier
the salty
program.
Dog. That's right.
Last year, they were very strong up front, kind of a lot like what we just saw with Rowlett. The defensive line was very, very strong. The linebackers, they had two studs there. I haven't gotten a chance to look at them this year, but, I mean, they didn't play Trinity as close as they did it last year, so there's hope there.
There's
for
hope,
sure.
Yeah. Well, I know this. Coach Shane Tolleson will have them as polished and ready to play come Friday night as he can.
And he had those kids flying around the football field.
Yeah, they did. At times, maybe a little bit too much. You know, we still got we had a few mental lapses on penalties, to say the least. I mean, we took the opening kickoff and returned it, but then we had a block in the back or some sort of foul way back up the field behind the ball, which was a little disheartening, but it's all right. We showed them right off the bat that we can run it, or we can return it.
Blocking the back on the opening kick, and that kick was returned by Jaden Becks, I believe,
that's
about
right.
60 yards. The block in the back call, that flag came from a referee on the opposite side of
that's
where the
right.
play was, and also about 20 yards behind the play. So how
right.
that even factored into where Becks was at
at
that
the time,
was
yeah, you'd have thought.
Silly.
I agree wholeheartedly because you'd have thought the referee would have had his eyes more downfield, you know, out with the runner and all that.
So,
and then it did happen towards the middle of the field as well.
You know, they're always talking about getting rid of kickoffs and punt returns and things like that. And if for no other reasons, the only reason that I would be, I like kickoffs, I like punt returns and things like that, but every time there's a block in the back or a holding or something like yep. that. So you may have a run back like 60 yards like this, but it goes back every time.
It
so,
does.
I mean, how much yardage would you actually be losing if you started off on the 25-yard line every time?
Well, I think this is me, but I think the argument is that, one, there's a lot of penalties on kickoffs, and two, it chews up a lot of time when they have to bring the ball all the way back, reset it, you know, get everything going. And that's a big part of it. I think it's more driven by the college and the pro game where television is involved than it is the high school game.
Well, isn't there also a lot of injuries because they're
yes.
flying real fast at each other?
Exactly.
Have they done
they
that?
They got a full head of steam when they make contact.
Have they done that in high school like you do in the pros now where you can't start running until after the ball is kicked?
Yep. So they have shortened it down to where you only get a 5-yard
lead.
Head start. Head start, I guess. So they have shorten that because I know when I was playing even that was 10 yards and I think he got two people that could line up at 12 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they got
maybe.
The extra start.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
No, it didn't matter where I lined up on the kickoff line. I wasn't going to get a full head of steam.
You weren't
the
getting
side
there
line. I was right there on the sideline, and that was not on the field, just on the sideline itself.
If I could lay over on my side and roll, I might have gone faster.
So back to the Waxahachie game, the one thing that was very concerning was the first half, we had penalties galore.
Brainless mental lapses.
By my count, we were flagged 8 times in the first half for 134 yards.
Yeah.
It was tough.
It's tough.
It was tough. The second half, though, I talked to Tolson after the game, and he said that the entire halftime focus was on, one, they had to execute better on the offensive side.
Yep.
But the main thing that he tried to drive home were the self-inflicted wounds.
That's right.
SIWs. And he preached about that to us on air last week.
Yep. Because the week prior, when Waxahachie went to Red Oak to scrimmage a week before last on a Thursday night, it was a big part of that scrimmage. There was a lot of mental lapse, a lot of the opposing team getting in our head, and I'm going to use the term pulling us off sides when I don't mean literally pulling us off sides. I just meant like getting us out of our rhythm and our, you know, just getting into our head. I don't know how else to explain it.
Using that hard count?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, a little push, a little, you know, bump here, there, and it just gets a kid to where he just wants to fight or just, you know, wants to go beyond playing the game of football. And I don't mean to be mean or whatever, but I mean a joke that I made after going to that scrimmage was, man, it's like going to a fight and a football game broke out, you know. And so they definitely worked on it, and I think they definitely cleaned some of it up, but there was some carryover. And here again, this is my opinion, but you know, you can do that at Red Oak, I guess you could do that against Rowlett, but when we start to line up against the DeSotos and the Cedar Hills and the Duncanvilles, and here in a couple of weeks against the Ennises, and I'm not taking away from any of the other teams that we play, but those are four really, really well-coached teams, and they will use that against you.
Well,
you know?
That's also four teams that are going to be much larger than we are. So
yeah, exactly.
I don't want to get into a fisticuffs
that's
by
right.
any means with those
and,
group of
and so
grown
we need
men.
To. And here, this is just a radio guy's opinion, but I mean, we need to use that in our favor, you know, try to get them out of their element and not thinking clearly about football and go from there.
No doubt. And in that game, we did trail Rowlett 19-14 at the half. And it was
well, we trailed basically the whole game till right down to the end.
And it was a first half of oddities, to say the least. So we started off the first time we scored, the kick was blocked. We somehow recovered the blocked kick, and a pile followed into the end zone to convert the 2 points.
We scrummed our way to an extra point.
I don't know who caught it. Nobody to this. I haven't heard anybody that knows exactly who caught it, how he got it, how he got in. But we got somehow we ended up with 8 points.
We got 2 points out of it.
We missed. Two extra points. We missed a field goal. All three on it was there was a bad snap, there was a bad hold, and a bad kick on it was, and all three were different. We also had a kick blocked that they caught and that Rowlett returned for 2 points. It was the most bizarre.
It was bizarre. Yeah, it was.
And I'm sitting here trying to take notes in the press box, and I just had to stop. And I was like, right. I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Yeah.
Because it all happened in a short span.
In a short span, that's right. And I'm using, personally, I was using a new app because the coveted old stat app that I used is no longer supported. So I had to download a new one, and it's a little more cumbersome. And I was struggling to keep up with what was going on and try to watch the game and all of that. But yeah, it was an interesting night, though. But there was a lot of good stuff, you know. I mean,
especially there in the second half.
That's right, you know.
And the one play that I kind of thought changed the tide for the Waukesha offense, and after the game, I talked to quarterback Roderick Hartsfield about it, and he even agreed that it was the play that changed the game in his mind. But it was kind of late in the third quarter with about 2 minutes and 30 seconds to play or so. Hartsfield dropped back. He had to avoid the pressure almost as soon as his right foot hit the turf. Rowlett, if they didn't do anything else, they got in our backfield quick.
Yeah, they had a really incredible guy coming off the edge.
They had some dudes up front for sure. Hartsfield hit his right foot hits. He spins to his left, rolls back right, and then he floats an absolutely beautiful touch pass up the Indian sideline for a 25-yard game to Keith Abney the second, which was the first of two huge plays, both of 25 yards from Hartsfield to Keith Abney.
Yep.
On the night, because we ended the night, of course, with that 25-yard touchdown on the post route.
Yep.
On the first play in overtime, and that was
great throw, great catch, great execution of the play. Yeah, it was good stuff. And as a spectator, just watching the game. And I'm just talking about the feel. Like I say, I'd stopped taking notes and working with my phone and stats and all that. It did not feel like our passing game was real effective or real strong. But afterwards, when you go to look at it, I mean, man, we were 9-for-14 for 120 yards, which was a great contribution to that run game. And I think we did show some of our upcoming opponents that we got some kids that can run the ball. There's no doubt about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And the Iverson kid who came over from Red Oak. He's only I believe he's a sophomore.
Oh, is he? All right. I thought he was older than that.
He's either a sophomore or a junior. And he is a load to try to take down.
Yeah.
That kid runs, and he runs hard. And then to have him run so hard between the tackles, and then Jaden Beck's come in, and he's got the speed to run away from anybody.
From anyone.
It's a great 1-2 punch.
It is. And it's so – I said this last week with Coach Tolley, you know, Shane Tolleson, that it is so refreshing to watch him where they can hand the ball to a kid. He take the thing parallel to the line of scrimmage and get to the corner and turn it and then could go, you know, because in the last couple of years, I mean, we never could get to the corner. We'd get pulled down from behind or whatever the case was, but it's definitely different now, you know.
And there's two other small notes from that game that I want to point out. One being that we had 68 kids dressed out on the sideline. And that's an awful lot.
Yeah.
There were 68 names on the roster that was provided. That's a lot. I don't know the last time we had that many.
No. And I can speak to a little bit of those numbers just because of my past affiliation with the quarterback club. You know, the Waukesha quarterback club that does such a great job and providing meals to these kids and
Olive Garden.
And all of that. Olive Garden the other night, absolutely. There's a lot of great restaurants and organizations involved with all of that. But I've been told they were feeding in the neighborhood of 300 people, you know, in the upper 200s. Now, that includes trainers and the coaches and stuff like that. But I can tell you this, in recent years, we'd get 60 for the underclass, for the freshmen, and 80 for the upperclassmen. It's 160, 170 meals, and now we're 100 above that. So the future's bright for Waukesha football, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
And then the last I have is strictly for Dave.
Okay, Uh-oh. Here you go. This is a test.
So, Dave, the punter for Waukesha dons the number 93,
Dave.
93, and he's our punter.
Nice.
Stands 6'3", 215 pounds, and he looks every bit of 200 and a little more than 15 pounds.
Yeah.
But he is a
He's a load.
He is a defensive lineman that gets out there to punt for
right.
us.
So, in other words, you don't want to try to block that punt.
No. Well, if you don't care about your teeth, maybe. If I had a whiteboard, Travis, I'd work out the physics of that, though. It's all in the trajectory. It's a catapult. You know, the longer the leg, theoretically, the farther you should be able
in
to kick.
In theory, and I did see where the newest Manning, what's his name, Arch?
Yeah, Arch Manning. Yeah, that's
Arch
right.
Manning went viral on Saturday because he had a 68-yard punt that traveled 68 yards in the air.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
I've watched a lot of video on that kid.
Not only
yeah.
is he the top player in the entire country. He can also punt.
He can also punt. All right, I think we need to go to a break. Is that right, Dave?
Yeah,
but before we do, I want to throw one thing out before I forget. This is really important to me because this is really, really cool, I think, personally. Because we've been talking already tonight about the kicking game of Waxahachie. And here, not too terribly long ago, a few months ago, sitting in this seat right here in Studio B at the world headquarters of KBC, was one Mr. Dale Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah. So this week, for any of our listeners, if you didn't know this, is Dale Hansen's last week, September 2nd. And our former Waxahachie player, Mr. Clyde Melick, who won two games for us the last second kickoffs last year, was the very last scholar athlete of the week in 38 years of Dale Hansen doing that stuff.
Outstanding.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yep.
Like Dale Hansen said, that's the answer to the trivia question. Who was the last scholar athlete? Well, it's Clyde Melick from Waxahachie, Texas.
Outstanding.
Way to go, Clyde.
Way to go, Clyde.
Only mistake Clyde ever made is going to Hook'em Hornville. I'll just get my one shot in and leave it at that. Anyhow. Let's go to break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
I wore my Longhorn hat this week, too.
Oh, so. If I'd have known that, I'd cut your tires.
All right. Well, guys, let's talk about Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. They're right here in Waxahachie. They provide the superior HVAC expertise you demand for the highest quality results for your AC repair and heating needs. Call today at 972-834-2568. That's 972-834-2568 to learn more about Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning HVAC Contractor Services. That's Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. Back right after these messages.
Another proud sponsor of the Press Box on KBEC is Metro Florist and Gifts in Ferris, in the heart of downtown Ferris. They've got flowers for all occasions, a lot of great gift ideas too, whether it be birthdays, funerals, that special occasion, or just because. Just give Chris a call today, 972-544-8877. That's 972-544-8877. Metro Florist and Gifts, now at their new location in the heart of downtown Ferris, taking care of you for any and all occasions.
If you are ever in need of a wrecker service, call TOPRO Wrecker Service at 972-938-3221. They're the pros that can give you a tow. TOPRO handles small and heavy towing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Danny and his crew have been serving this area since the year 2000. Let them put their experience to work for you. Call 972-938-3221 or email at towprowax@gmail.com. TOPRO Wrecker Service.
Featherston Auto Repair, 3654 Highway 77 in Sterrett, Texas. Their team does it all. Featherston Auto Repair for brake work, tune-ups, transmission repair. They do electrical work, engine repair, suspensions, and more. They're your one-stop shop for your family's vehicle repairs. Always glad to give you a free estimate, too, at Featherston Auto Repair, 3654 Highway 77 North, just north of Waxahachie. Or give Bobby Featherston a call at 972-617-9966.
Classic Texas, KBEC.
And now back to the Press Box on KBEC.
Oh, what are we clapping for?
We get an applause.
Welcome back.
Man, the studio is packed with our autograph signers or autograph requesters around here.
That's pretty good sound for two guys over here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, hey, we're professional radio broadcast professionals or something like that.
Something like that.
I think once you get paid, you're a professional, so we're still amateurs.
Okay, are we?
Yeah. All right. Definitely still amateurs.
Well, I come in here and get a Whataburger coupon or something. That's paid just because it's not cash. I mean, Back in the day, you paid the doctor with goats and chickens and pigs and stuff.
I have I never once paid Dr. Pickens in goats or...
Not Dr. Pickens. I said you paid the doctor with goats and pigs and
chickens. In the 1800s, you did. Sure
you combined
enough.
Pigs and chickens and got pickens. I don't know something.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Well, that was my doctor. And
okay.
Oh,
that
all
right,
it
makes
chickens.
Sense. Right.
That little brain.
Back to football. So yes. Dave Smoke. Campbell's Texas football released their updated...
Okay.
Newly released. There's no. This is not breaking news here. It's not. Not
it's
even.
It's been out since June. It's not very breaking.
No, it's been out since this morning, Dave. This is not breaking news.
Breaking news.
Good. And another drum roll. So.
Oh, the coveted Ennis, double drum roll.
So the Ennis Lions check in at number 6 in Class 5A,
all right.
Division 2, after they defeated Red Oak 56-42.
Yep.
And they're. Opener. It was a game that was much closer than
That's
some
right.
probably expected with all of the changes that Red Oak has gone through.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was also a game that if I had just seen the final score, I would assume that there were 700
passing 600 yards of passing. Yep.
But instead, the two teams combined for almost 1,100 yards of offense. And it was almost all on the ground.
You're right. You're running and running.
The two starting quarterbacks combined to go. It was like 5 of 14 for 4 yards in the second half.
Wow.
It was all ground game, which was a bit surprising to say the absolute least. And then our other ranked team from Ellis County is the Midlothian Heritage Jaguars.
The Jags.
That's a very young team. All of their stats, like if you go through there and look, it is all sophomores and juniors that are contributing there. They defeated Everman 50-23, again, largely on the ground. So we are seeing that for some reason the passing game isn't of the utmost importance with our county teams, especially in that Ferris game.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Ferris and Maypearl, we won't get too far into that yet because we will have – Maypearl head coach Sam Rippey on at 6:40.
Here in just a few minutes. Yep.
They unfortunately did fall to Ferris, and that final score was 58-14. And again, if I see that score, then I think Nathan Greek, he threw for 400 yards.
Yeah.
But instead, it was Ferris running back Derek Willis who rushed 24 times for 320 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Wow. And, you know, Nathan Greek, too, just to remind the listeners, you know, this is this kid that's 6'4 and about 220, 230 or something. I mean, he's a mountain of a man as a junior in high school. And, yeah, you totally expect that, but it wasn't the way that it turned out, which is, to me, that's exciting. That's what high school football is all about. You know,
how many
you go
yards
into
was...
it thinking it's going to be a certain way, and then it doesn't ever turn out.
Yeah, Dave, that's just now sinking in, huh?
How many yards was that?
He rushed 24 times for 320 yards and 4 touchdowns.
That's like a lot more than, was it 12 yards a carry
like
or something?
8 yards a carry.
13.3 yards a carry.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's more like
first
12
First down
plus.
Every time he rushed.
Yeah, just handed
I had
him.
To use my highfalutin phone and the
your
calculator
toes
app
and fingers
on there.
And everything else, right.
That's a lot of yardage every carry.
That's right.
Man, goodness.
Yeah, counting on your fingers and toes is like paying the doctor with goats and chickens and pigs, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm almost that old, so.
By the way, my good friend Robert Harold made comment just a moment ago on text, two texts via me about paying doctors with goats and chickens and pigs. So I'll confirm and figure out if he indeed paid for his doctor's visits that way. All right, back to football. Let's go. I'm sorry. I digress.
So let's fly back through the rest of the county and those scores. We'll start at the top. Of course, the Waxahachie Indians defeated Rowlett 28-22. In Class 5A, Midlothian fell to Fort Worth Brewer 23-20. Chad, I believe off air before the show we talked about that, and that's you kind of had some insight on the Brewer program.
Yeah,
right?
So the Brewer Bears is led by the former DeSoto coach Todd Peterman, and I'm friends with a member or two of his staff or whatever, and they had a couple of lean years there in the beginning of his regime as head coach. But one thing they would say is that, man, he goes, we got a crew of junior high kids coming, and to the point to where in junior high, like a 6'2", 280-pound kid was small. And I'm shooting from the hip on that a little bit. But my point is they had some big kids coming that could definitely create a line, which would now be varsity players. And I need to reach out to them and get some feedback on that to see if that is the case. But that's why I wasn't surprised when I saw that they prevailed, because that's definitely what they had in store, what they had in mind that would be coming.
Well, I'll tell you what did surprise me some on Friday was that we had – actually, we might have been about a minute and a half still from going to halftime, and I checked in on the Midlothian Panther game, and it was about 8:45, and they had less than 3 minutes on the actual game clock.
Oh, wow.
Now, they did start at 7.
Right.
But still, they finished up that game in less than 2 hours, and we were at Lumpkins until almost 11.
It was, yeah, well, but we did go into overtime, so that's a little skewed, you know.
Sticking with 5A, number 7, which is now number 6, Ennis defeated then number 12, Red Oak, 56-42.
Can I inject something on that real quick?
Go for it, yes, sir.
So a friend of mine, Pat Hillstrom, and whose son plays at Red Oak, and he and I were texting during – I was at the Waxahachie game. He was obviously watching his son, Red Oak Hawk, play at Ennis and all that, and said that Davion Beasley was just absolutely killing him. And Davion is a kid – he actually went to Waxahachie schools for a while, but has been over there for a few years. And he really showed out as a sophomore in the Aledo playoff game where – they ended up losing in double overtime, and Alito went on to win the state championship a couple of years ago. But apparently Davion, which Coach Harrell talked about him a few weeks ago, that you know we had that the Lions were going to have Davion on the field and get the ball in his hands, you know, offensively when he was on the offensive side of the ball, and hope that he found a way to get it in his own hands when he's on the defensive side of the ball, I guess you could say. But apparently he was a big force in that victory against Red Oak the other night, and helping the Lions to put 56 points on the board.
So in that game, D. Johnson rushed 27 times for 160 yards and 3 touchdowns for the Ennis Lions. T.T. Cox rushed 5 times for 87 yards and a score, and Beasley rushed 5 times for 64 yards and a score, but he was also very active in the passing game. Yep. And on the deep to the side as well.
Right, right. And I believe their quarterback, Gilkey, is it Jackson Gilkey?
Jackson Gilkey,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
He was 8 for 16 with almost 200 yards of passing.
Yep,
so,
he was.
So, but 3 of those were touchdowns. So, you know,
the first three,
a lot of contribution there.
That was kind of an odd part in that game as well, was that the first 3 touchdowns that Ennis scored were all through the air.
Yep.
And then it was like they just said, all right, well, we've proven that we can throw the ball on every single down.
Yeah.
And it was like the first drive was 2 plays, the second drive was 3 plays or
scoring
4
quick.
Plays, and, yeah. And then the third drive was 4 or 5 plays. And I was like, all right, so this game is going to be a blowout. But
Red
credit is due.
Yeah.
Red Oak, they battled tough the entire time.
Did. It's fun to go to a game where there's almost 100 points scored, you know. I mean, I guess if you're defensive-minded, it's not. But it's always fun to watch them score.
So sticking with 4A, or actually moving to Class 4A, Midlothian Heritage, who remains state-ranked, did defeat Everman 50-23. And I remember when Everman used to be, that was the team you had to beat. David's in there doing a happy dance because that
always,
used to be in your district,
guess,
right?
Yeah, whenever Everman loses, I am a happy camper.
Me too, because that used to be the game of – that was the game that we circled on the schedule each year. It was like, all right, Everman week 3 or 4, like that's going to be the game that we have to win.
I don't know who let off their bonfire a day early still. I have no idea how that happened.
Yeah, oh, really?
No,
yeah, well,
not,
you know,
not
lightning strikes.
Yeah, well, you know, could have been that
grass fire got
on
out
a clear
of
day, but you know,
yeah, on a clear day. Well, there's always grass fire.
We should probably give
this time of year.
Shout out to that win to Caden Brown. He is the son of SAGU head coach Ryan Smith. He completed 15 of his 24 passes for 187 yards and 3 scores. He also rushed a team high 13 times for 118 yards and 2 more scores. So anytime that you can account for 5 touchdowns is a pretty good
exactly
pretty good day at the ball field.
At the office. Yep.
Life, Waxahachie fell to Waco Conley, 56-6. We'll blow by that one. Of course, Ferris defeated May Pearl, and that's a 4A against the 3A. The 3A Panthers, 58-14. Sticking with Class 3A, Palmer and Kemp, that game was actually canceled. Kemp had to cancel due to health and safety protocols, which
that's
I think...
That's disappointing. It's sad.
I think we all know what that means this point. And then in Class 2A, Italy rolled against Dallas A-plus Academy, 49-8. And again, that was another one where it was heavy on the ground.
Yeah.
I just lost my spot on that one.
Gladiators always do their fighting on the ground. They're not an air type.
Absolutely. Quarterback Jaden Saxon threw four passes, completed all four, for 117 yards and one score. And then on the ground, I mean, we had Colden Horn, which I guess is he's a freshman, so he's the youngest son of head coach Craig Horn. Rushed eight times for 94 yards, and Sealand senior Jalen Hernandez rushed four times for 70 yards. And then in Class 1A, Milford fell to a non-UIL foe in Waco Vanguard College Prep, 67-18, and Abbott defeated the Avalon Eagles 52-6. So it's going to be a tough year in 1A.
Exactly.
Looks like
it is. And we've got to make a point to – I need to check our schedule on an open week and go ahead and see me a six-man game or something.
Yeah, it's 1A six-man.
It is. It'll get hairy on you in a hurry.
Yeah, it will.
It's like playing basketball on a football field, you know.
So that's your around Ellis County football recap there.
Well, thank you there, Travis.
We had a pretty good week.
We did. It's a good start to the season. I'm excited about it, you know. We've got a lot of promising stuff happening right here in Ellis County.
I'll just throw in a score for you guys.
All right, please do that.
Burleson Elks.
Uh-oh, the Elks.
They beat Wiley.
Wiley, wow.
46-3.
How about that?
So, yay, Burleson Elks.
Yeah, now, go Elks.
The other Burleson team, the Spartans, also won, but it wasn't by such a wide margin. But,
I got you.
You know, my nephew graduated from the Spartan school, but... We still don't talk about that very much.
Once again, makes for a bad Thanksgiving.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, why don't we go to break right here, and then we'll sell some stuff and come back. And
with head coach Sam Rippey, right?
There you go. We'll talk a little May Pearl Panthers.
I'll get him on the phone for you,
good
boys.
Deal.
All right. Hey, we'll be back right after this on your station for Ellis County Sports, 1390 AM, 99.1 FM, KBEC, and KBEC.com.
Pete's Tires and Automotive at 3704 Highway 77 North, where they do it all. From tires and rims to lift kits, level kits, along with all kinds of diesel performance work and general maintenance, too. And you'll love their contactless drop-off and pickup. That's it. Makes it easier for everyone. And at Pete's Tires and Automotive, you want to ask about their loyalty rewards program, too. It's 3704 Highway 77 North, or give them a call at 972-617-7029. Pete's Tires and Automotive.
Equipment cluttering up your backyard? Jet skis taking up space in your driveway? Whether you need an extra closet or garage, Access Self-Storage has the space for you. Meet the friendly, helpful managers who live on site with state-of-the-art surveillance and electronic entry systems. In Red Oak at 561 East Ovilla Road and in Midlothian at 1630 North Highway 67. Committed to safety, security, and service. Access Self-Storage.
Since 2006, Auto Tent Design in Waxahachie has helped drivers not only look cooler, but feel cooler on the hot Texas highways. Auto Tent Design is your certified Lumar Automotive window film dealer, offering the industry's best window tinting, custom fit for your car by the best installers in town. With more than 10 years of experience, you can trust us to get your installation right the first time. Auto Tent Design also specializes in truck accessories, alarms with remote start, grill guards, step bars, and all types of bed covers, bed liners, and full front-end replacements. Auto Tent Design, 1111 Ferris Avenue, Waxahachie. Call 972-935-0740 or check them out online at autotentdesigninc.com.
KBEC.
for the Press Box on KBEC.
There we are. Now we're back.
Now you're back.
Sorry. There's buttons and stuff in here, Dave, you got to push.
Check, mic 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah, that's it. Check, check, sound check.
That's how you know a real sound man. He can't count to three.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We got the lights on. That's always important in radio, I think.
At least that much, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Yeah. That's pretty technical for us. That's one switch and two lights. Where anyway. All right, so we're back. Our phone is lines are blinking. I think we got a coach on the line. Is that correct? And with that, we will welcome to the radio program Coach Sam Rippey. Coach, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Good evening. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Fantastic, Coach. Fantastic. We, you know, we spent the last month talking to coaches around the county and this sort of thing and trying to get a little bit of a insight to where their program is and what they're seeing that they like and what they dislike, what they need to work on, all that kind of stuff. And just simply because of scheduling conflicts and that sort of thing, we weren't able to have you grouped in with them. But, man, we're so excited to have you on tonight. And if we can, let's just kind of back up a little bit and before we get into how your season has already started and that sort of thing. But just back up and how was your summer and what happened that excited you? And then what was some maybe sticking points that you need to work on?
Well, you know, this summer we had a lot of kids come up and go through the summer strength and conditioning program. We got to do a lot of sports-specific afterwards, which was exciting. Got a lot of the offense and defensive calls for all levels.
Yep.
And then starting this year, you know, we got a lot of young kids that are playing varsity for the first time. Last year we had a lot of varsity experience, so this year we're trying to catch up these youngsters real quick.
I got you. So, Coach, this is your third year. Is that correct at Maypearl?
Fourth year as head coach.
Fourth year as head coach. Okay. So are the kids buying in? I mean, do they understand your program and what it is you're trying to achieve and the way that you're going about doing it? Now them having seen it now headed into the fourth year?
Yeah. They know that I expect them to play four quarters, play hard the entire time, give a lot of great effort. And they know that we're going to have to work hard, a lot harder than a lot of other teams.
I got you.
Yep. You know, we don't have the best athletes, but I believe that if we work harder than them, you know, we're stronger than them. That at least gives us a great equalizer.
Right, right. That's absolutely a great philosophy. You know, nothing ever failed but an effort. Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. So then that brings us up. So then you had I'm assuming you had a scrimmage, and then this past Friday was your first game. So what are your takeaways from there as you're headed on into the rest of the season? Or, you know, what is it that you're focused on working on to improve and then also maintaining that keep working with it because it's working well for you?
Yeah, we played Ferris. Hats off to them. They came out and executed. You know, we didn't. You know, the biggest thing we took away was we didn't tackle very well. Fundamentally, we broke down on that. Offensively, we couldn't execute the offense the way we should, and we didn't block as well as we needed to. So, you know, going into this week, Phoenix is shut down for COVID, so we don't have a game as of right now. But we're taking this week as a practice week, and we're not taking a day off because of it.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, Coach, I thought I had seen that Phoenix was closed, and I believe they closed the entire school district down.
I think that is correct.
They did.
Yeah.
Teachers.
They did.
So, Coach, as you kind of approach this week, I mean, I guess your next game on the schedule as of right now is Clifton, but is there a possibility that you have a team slot in there for this week yet, or we kind of just nixed that and called this a bye week?
We haven't yet. We're still in talks with some teams. I talked to five coaches last night, and we just couldn't work anything out with them. Some of them already found games. I got another coach that texted me today. So, you know, there's always that chance, you know, we're in this COVID year again, unfortunately.
Yep.
You just never know that who's going to cancel tomorrow or today.
So how does that process work? Because there's sometimes when a team won't find out until Wednesday or Thursday that they can't play for that week, much like what Palmer did last week. I don't believe that they knew until it was either late Wednesday evening or early Thursday that their game was called. So do you guys just prepare for a ghost opponent?
Yeah, we're working on just getting better ourselves, you know, scheme-wise, just being better at whatever we do. We're not really scheming for another team because we don't have an opponent right now. We're just trying to get better at blocking, tackling, and being able to line up offensively and defensively correct.
I got you. So at what point in the week, I guess, do you kind of give up hope on finding a game for this week and you shift to starting to prepare for Clifton in week three?
Probably Wednesday. We'll probably start moving on, but I hate to say, never say never.
Right.
But probably Wednesday.
And then that's the physical part of it. Mentally, Coach, how do you keep your kids excited and upbeat and, mentally and keep them mentally tuned and prepared?
That's hard.
Yeah.
You got to remember, it's a bunch of 15, 16, 17-year-olds.
Exactly.
They're boys.
Right, exactly.
They see a squirrel and they're lost. But, just trying to take this week as another week to prepare to get better, but then also trying to have fun at practice.
Yeah.
Keeping it loose, but making them stay focused on what we need to do better to get better.
If a game did not materialize, I mean, would you form some sort of activity? I mean, a movie night or do something of that nature to try to?
I don't know. We might. Last year we kind of did a team building thing on the field and just kind of came together as a team. So, that's something to definitely think about.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, I mean, you definitely could paint the homestand since you had some volunteers come out there and paint the visitor teams, and they look great, by the way. They are bright red now, so I will give you this time to give a shout out to those who came out to help with that tedious project.
Yes, I appreciate the Oaks Church for coming out and donating their time and their volunteers for painting that. It was definitely well needed. And it does make everything look a lot better now.
I did not realize how maroon those stains had gotten until they got painted red again. So
yes,
look
definitely
fantastic.
Starting to change colors.
So, Coach, as we look back at that game that was last week, there was a big positive that I saw, and it might just be it might just be reflective of the final score, but. Heath Graff, I mean, he was 18 of 38 for 309 yards. I don't remember the last time that I've covered Maypearl in the past 6 years that a quarterback's thrown for 300 yards. So what is your takeaway from his performance?
Sophomore quarterback, he did a lot of good things, but he did a lot of times where he read wrong, and unfortunately, he threw some interceptions because of that. But sophomore, first time getting a start, first time really going against an opponent that was pretty good. So he's good. He just has to mature a lot faster than, say he doesn't have a week. He's got to mature today.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the other fun stat is that he completed – passes to 10 different wide receivers.
You spread it around that much.
That's pretty
that
impressive for a not just a 3A team, but for any team.
That you got 10
can
that can
it
catch
around
it.
Like that.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So, Coach,
that's the upside. He doesn't have one favorite target. He's going to throw to the open man. It's hard to get a quarterback to do that.
I agree.
Now as a defense coordinator, who are you scheming for?
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great weapon, and they never know which three or four are going to be on the field, and all four of them can catch
that's right.
it. Yeah, that's a great weapon to have.
Well, Coach, I guess the ultimate goal here, obviously, is to make the postseason. We were able to do that last year. I think we finished 3-3, and that might have been the first time in 4 years or 5 years. I don't have that number in front of me, but I feel like that's about the right answer. What I guess, do the Panthers need to work on between now and that district opener against the always tough and, I mean, awfully kind of unfair that they're still in 3A Grandview Zebras?
You know, again, we just goes back to the fundamentals that we lacked against Ferris. If we can't block and tackle, you know, it's going to be a long year for us. But if we can come on with the blocking and tackling, we're going to make the postseason. We have some explosive weapons offensively. Defensively, we got some good kids that can, you know, can cover. We got some good linebackers and, you know, a pretty good defensive line.
And we need to finish at least third, correct? So that we don't have to see Malakoff in the first round? Is that right?
Yes, sir. I do not want Malakoff again.
I don't think anybody.
Nobody does.
Having to play Grandview in district and then Malakoff in the first round is just unfair.
That is right.
It is.
What about the other teams, Coach, in your district? I mean, you got West and Dallas Madison and, of course, Whitney down there and Life School in Oak Cliff and Dallas A-plus Academy. I mean, how do they shape up or how do they look? You know, at the moment, I see you're ranked fourth in the, you know, right in the middle of the district. But do you feel like that's a pretty fair assessment of your program right now based on what you've seen or heard from the other programs in the district?
Yeah, I think so. West beat Lexington, who was number 10 in the state last week, and they beat them like 48-0.
Oh, wow.
West is just good.
Yes.
Madison, they're going to be very athletic, as always. And, you know, Whitney, you just never know. They're always going to have some big country kids with some athletes. And then you throw in Life, who's going to be athletic like Madison.
Yeah.
And, you know, A-plus. It's a charter school, so you just don't know what you're going to get with them.
Yeah, sometimes they change rapidly, don't they?
A-plus just got stopped by Italy.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I knew I'd heard their name tonight. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I mean, I think we're in a fair spot about fourth place. You know, we played Madison tough last year. If we beat them, we're third place.
Yep.
So I think we can. We even played West tough.
Yeah.
It was 14-7, I think, going into halftime last year.
It must be the Kolaches.
Beat us.
It must be the Kolaches. Is that why West is so good, right? Maybe if we just fed them all Kolaches, we'd have this thing whipped, right?
Man, I'll take it.
For sure. Well, good deal, Coach. We do appreciate you being on tonight. We're excited to get the football season started. It was refreshing this past Friday night to sit down and go to a game with a stands packed full of people and, you know, no mask required and all that sort of stuff. So we hope all the best of your program. Hope your opponents are able to get their kids healthy and safe and get everything back on track. But the best of luck to you in this 2021 season.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to have you on.
You betcha.
Thanks, Coach.
We'll look forward to following your progress. Thank you very much. All right, that's Coach Sam Rippey from the Maypearl Panthers. And like I said,
that
he's coming
stinks.
Out of
it. It stinks that their game is already canceled.
Already canceled. Yeah. I've heard about that in other places and parts of the state.
Well,
where it's happening.
It didn't click with me, but I have a friend. It's a very close friend, and his wife was actually the school nurse at Venus last year.
Okay.
So I still follow. I still follow like the Venus ISD stuff.
Right.
And I actually remember now that I saw the school district post. It was either Thursday or Friday last week that they were going to close for all of this week.
Yeah.
Because they're out of teachers.
Yeah.
They just don't have anybody left.
Yeah.
These small school districts, and that seems to be, from following Matt Stepp and those guys, it seems to be that it's definitely the smaller schools that are being affected more by this.
Right. Yeah. And then when they go on a per capita deal, you know, so
anyway. I got a question, guys.
I got a Google.
I hope, right. Yeah, you do.
I just got the answer.
Well,
hopefully
you know,
it'll be a right one.
Well, the coach talked about, you know, tackling and running and things like that. When I was playing football, you know, right after the dinosaurs died and the asteroid hit and all that, and the earth cooled down.
And they had transitioned from the leather helmet to the plastic
just
helmet.
Just barely. I think we had two leather helmets.
Okay.
So. But they used to teach form tackling, where you put your face mask right in the numbers and you're wrapped up.
No,
and
that's not.
But you can't do that anymore.
No,
so how do you
–
what kind of fundamentals of tackling
so
do
they
you teach?
So they
shoulders.
Teach across the body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your head shouldn't be involved at all now.
No.
Right. I knew that. Yeah. But my question is, and I noticed this during the Cowboy game. I watched the Nebraska Illinois game, and I watched a little bit of high school football on TV this weekend. But I noticed that tackling seems to be a big, big problem on all the defenses.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to grab and pull people down.
Because nobody knows the rules anymore.
Well, that's part of it. But Dave, I'll say this, too, though. A lot of it has to do with the athleticism of the people playing, right?
Well, yeah. But
I'll go back 30-something years to when I was in high school playing, and we had plastic helmets and face masks, Dave.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we were really high tech.
30-something years.
But I had the privilege of playing with a guy that was a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete, one of the best athletes I'd ever been around in my entire life that I knew personally. But anyway, in my comment, I was like, man, he doesn't ever get hit. Well, he never got hit because he was so athletic. Mm-hmm. He could get himself in position where he didn't get hit, right?
Yeah.
Where I'm over here just getting pummeled because I wasn't athletic, you know?
Right.
So that has a lot to do with it. And I don't know where I'm a little off balance in making this statement is simply because I don't know that you can teach athleticism. You know, a lot of it is just God-given and that sort of thing.
Right.
But you can teach just ways to get around that or ways to, you know, I don't know, really even know how to explain it. I'll say this. So back in the 90s when Art Briles was coaching at Stephenville, my nephew played over there for him, and I was around their program a lot. And he would constantly talk about, man, assess your situation quickly and get on the ground. Just get on the ground. It alleviates that hit. Man, let's reset the ball, line up, and go for the next play, you know. And there's a lot to all that about the way – Friday night I was sitting near a man that said, you know, you just don't see a good old-fashioned D-cleater anymore. Well, you really don't, because that's kind of been taken out of the game and coached away from that.
Or Keith Jackson's slobber knocker.
Slobber knocker, exactly.
You don't see those anymore.
That's right, yeah. You know, for sure.
Well, and there are certain players that you can't tackle below the waist anymore either, like quarterbacks, right? You can't hit the quarterback down below the waist.
You can
away with it in high school quite a bit. Colleges, they're starting to protect the quarterbacks more than the NFL.
More.
If you even
I think what they're trying to do is if somebody gets a hold of them, even though they hadn't pulled them to the ground, they're going to blow the whistle quickly so that he's not just a target there, you know,
right,
just a dummy waiting to be demolished, you know.
So, right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, that answered my question. Thank you, boys.
I got a shameless plug, boys.
Okay, final shameless plug of the night.
All right, here we go.
So college football starts up officially
Saturday.
This weekend.
I'll be there.
Best of luck to all. There's no reason for a drum roll here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's A&M's playing. There's absolutely a reason for a drum roll.
we have several dozen county kids that we do need to watch out for. I will make sure that we have not all of their names, but as many of their names as we can. I mean, we've got Damani down at A&M. we've got Damani Richardson at Texas A&M, the mighty Fighting Aggies.
And one of the best defenses in the SEC.
Dave,
which
you can
then
take that horns up and put it down and put it somewhere else.
Exactly. They can't find me. Yeah.
We have Jack Freeman down at Houston.
Yep.
We've got Katie Davis at North Texas. So like we have some. Of course, we've got three receivers.
Yeah, you got
locally.
Wigginton at Oklahoma State.
So we've got Wig, Anderson, and Raymond Gay are all at Oklahoma State. We have Wilkerson at Washington State. So we've got plenty of guys to watch out for, but I also want to let you all know that right now, starting this week, you'll be able to watch every Tarleton Texan football game
Division 1
ESPN Plus.
How about that?
So if you would like to catch up with those Tarleton Texans, leave
purple, the
purple
and
let that thing roll on ESPN Plus all season long.
Well, I've got my playing golf tomorrow with the boys, and I've got my Longhorn hat ready to go.
You just keep you wearing that Longhorn hat.
Oh, and also, Go Browns.
Talk about a final party shot. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 7 o'clock, which means I think we're about done. We appreciate you tuning in, listening. Appreciate you listening to us talk a little football. We love it. It's one of the high spots of our year and all of that. I would ask Dave to play Turn Out the Lights by Willie Nelson, but I think he played it shortly before the show came on tonight. But there we go. Have a little Who Let the Dogs Out. And with all of that, tell them good night, Yo-Yo. We're going
good
to the
night,
house.
Good
night, Yo-Yo. Go Browns.
You've been listening to The Press Box on Classic Texas KBEC, 1390 AM, 99.1 FM, and online at KBEC.com. Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpets in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpets. Tune in every Monday night at 6 p.m. for the Press Box. And for more information, go to sports.kbec.com.